Dean Burke and Eric.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Eric Anderson.
Here.
April Bingo.
Here.
Kathy Buckley.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Richard Levine.
Here.
Ed Marin. Debbie Fasino.
Here.
Pauline Stone.
Here.
Sue Tremblay. Andrew Ferrier.
Item C, approval of the agenda. Resolve the superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education to approve the agenda.
Motion.
Richard.
Second.
Second by Debbie. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Public comment. Anybody for public comment?
Due to privacy concerns, the public comment section of this Board of Education meeting has been redacted.
Any other people speak?
Can those names be stricken from the minutes?
They will be.
Okay.
Okay. Report, Superintendent of Schools.
Number of items to report on this evening. Some good news items, some update items. In-house transformer breakdown. How's that for a lead-in? We had sometime early this morning. Some are aware, some are not, but we had a transformer in the EdTech offices that are used to clean street electricity, as opposed to electricity coming off the street can sometimes spike. This transformer is used to even out the spike so that it doesn't spike. The transformer had a malfunction, and early this morning, around 4:30 or so, Dan Noonan and Gary and a few other folks jumped immediately to finding a solution. It's important because the unit is used to prevent peaks and surges that can be harmful to systems as well as the servers. So what's happened with it? They worked through the early morning. We have a temporary modifications, and Dan was seeking quotes that could be considered for expending to fix the problem. That was brought to the operations committee. There's a report tonight from the operations committee a little bit later in the agenda, and there'll be a little bit more details associated with that. But primarily sharing it with you as the full board to know that a bunch of people jumped immediately on top of the problem and kept it from getting worse, and that the operations committee will have a little bit more on that information to share. Received an email, different topic. I received an email today from Mark Berry. You will recall Mark is representing the district in its efforts to sell the West Chazy Elementary building. It was an email to say what hasn't happened as much as what has, unfortunately. He comments that there are a lot of efforts that have been taken to market the building, including a series of ads in local publications, several showings of the property, several mail campaigns to owners, investors, and potential other small business owners who may have an interest in expanding their businesses, if you will, have not yet resulted in any purchase offers or serious responses, but he's continuing. He just wants the board to know he's still out there trying to market the building. Very good news. Cumberland Head FSO received good news recently. The FSO was selected by the Lowe's Charitable and Educational Foundation to receive a grant in the amount of $5,000. Mm-hmm. The grant was drafted by that group for the purpose of beautifying, if you will, the playground above and beyond its already current improved efforts with new equipment. The grant proposal includes purchasing of small trees and shrubs, as well as a bench or two, which could be situationally located around the playground so parents could enjoy their children using the playground equipment on weekends and have a bench or two to sit on, plus for staff members as well to monitor playground activities. So that's really good news. Obviously a lot of hard work. Kudos to the Cumberland Head FSO, and a big thank you to Lowe's for its generosity. Lowe's being a local company, of course, it's really nice that they were able to free up the grant money and assign it to Cumberland Head FSO. So we're excited about that. Just a quick reminder, it's the time of the year, obviously, when the district and community can join students in many of our concerts and other school end activities that are occurring. Most of these are currently on the website, so you can check at any time the various schools to see on their calendar what's coming up next. Andrew's not here this evening, so I can't pull his chain a little bit, but I will say in absentia, Middle school concert was last week, and I went to the high school concert last evening. Some great selections, Beach Boys and Elton John were my personal favorites, so the kids did an outstanding job with those, and Eric and Andrew was in both of those, so I just thought I'd mention, see if I can get a smile out of them. So we'll have to do that in absentia. My last item is a follow-up to our high school principal search that needs to begin soon. I provided the board with an update. The district has received applications from 7 individuals. At the time I reported to you, there was one that was postmarked but hadn't been received by the deadline, so I was correct when I said we had 6, but one of them was postmarked, which met the deadline, so there's now 7. In reviewing the applications, I believe the district is better served by interviewing each of those 7 as opposed to making some exclusionary action over one over the other at this point. 7 is a little bit more for a round, but it's also the totality of the pool, so I think it's to the advantage of the district to say let's meet and interview those 7 individuals. Part of the process used several times, and I would propose following again, is to have interview teams set up. Represented by central office staff, administrators, a couple of parent representatives, a separate student interview team. I think I explained that. I'm pretty excited about how that has worked in the past. But most specifically for the board to know, as I asked for you to consider, we'd need 2 to 3 board member representatives to serve on the committee. So we're at a point now where we haven't contacted any of the candidates, but we need to start to tell them the dates when we're going to start interviews and when their times are going to be. So for this evening, I'm bringing back to the attention of the board, thank you for all those who did volunteer to serve. And I'm at this point just looking for who will be on the committee, and then I need to work with you on when you're available, when you can't be available, so I can piece together the cycle of interviews.
Mr. Amo, if it's all right with the board, I'd like to select the people that I've chosen. I selected Eric,
okay,
Kathy, and Ed to be on the team.
Okay. Okay. I'll email all 3 members with their okay, those 3 individuals, and indicate here's the weeks, this is how it's going to work, here's the time commitments, when can you, when can't you, that kind of thing, so I can piece together a schedule. Okay?
Yes.
Can I make a quick comment on that? Do any of the other board members have any issue with the 3 of us being on? I know we were the first 3 to respond, and I just want to make sure that, you know, because I know Pauline offered, and given her experience, I mean, she may be an excellent person to be on that group, so I just want to make sure that none of the other board members, if they had an objection or anything like that. But
no, I know some people that are applying, so I'd rather not be on.
Okay.
You know, if it's needed, I would be on it, but I'd rather not.
Yes. I don't have an objection, but I haven't had the opportunity to serve on a committee that's interviewing as well, while others have.
Well,
so.
Okay, one of the things, they're just going to bring the people back to us that are the best, and we're going to make the final decision on that as a whole board. So that's the thing. I mean, we're not going to be excluded out of it. We're just excluded out of the initial, bringing the only.
Right.
I mean, the reason I say that is, I mean, I said I'm willing to serve, but I'm also, for example, if April would rather serve, I'd be happy to take a step back or anything like that. So I just want to make sure so that, because I don't want it to be one of those things where, oh, those 3 responded first. Well, it's because I have it sitting on my cell phone, so it's pretty fast to respond. I just want to make sure that nobody had any issues.
Just a point of order. Just to remind you that Mr. Marin's seat is up the day of the election, which is May 21st. So
if he is not elected and can't serve, he already knows. I've already talked to him about it, that we'll just go down to 2 candidates at that time.
Or an alternate?
Well, I mean, part of it is, if it's, are we meeting before the 21st? That's the part. Would he be on 1 meeting and not in on the second?
I think the concern would be is that only if he's on the 3rd place voting would he actually even stay on the board. If he was 1st or 2nd, then he's actually off the board until July. And if he's 4th or 5th, then he would be off the board until another election. So I mean, that's kind of a concern, because whether we meet before or after, I mean, there's a pretty good potential, you know. I mean, there's only one spot where he stays on the board uninterrupted out of a potential five spots. So
you're saying it's a choice that the board doesn't want to have. So I guess the board has to make a decision, and I'm not going to select the next one. I mean, who would want to be? There's probably more than one that would like to.
Just like
an interest, I think it should be.
Well, at one time, Richard also expressed an interest in me, and they didn't allow him, so that's why I'm saying.
My interest, which is the date question just asked a minute ago, is I had originally proposed starting to think about the earliest possible date would be during the week of May 20th through 24th. However, I know we have conflicts already that would mean the earliest for the interview team, once it's identified, would be the 22nd. And then I look at which is the middle of the week. And then I'm going to ask Joanne to help me with this, because I caught on our calendar before I came over that we've got the 27th, there is no school.
The school, we're out of session on Friday the 24th, and we're out of session on the 27th, and we're out of session on the 28th.
Okay, so now we're into the next week, and my only reason for pointing that out is whoever is going to serve, I want to be sure that the availability is there for the time we start to notify candidates that come on in, this is when we're going to do the interview. I didn't know that when I put the 20th out, that all these other dates were conflicted. So how that plays into the board election, that's why I'm sharing it now. It comes after the board election, before you actually sit as an interview team.
Yes, I did volunteer, but I don't have a problem not sitting on it, because as far as I've known and reading on it, it's up to the discretion of the board, of the president of the board. And if he picked somebody else, he did. I'm not going to argue. You're right under the way it's written. So if you choose someone else, that's fine. I mean, that's your right too, as a board. I mean, six people, you got to pick three. I don't care who it is. That's up to you who you pick. When you're elected board president, you select committees, you select whatever. That's your position. I don't want to second guess that.
Well, I tried to pick from a new and from experience.
That's fine. I just want, again, I wanted to bring it up because I just want to make sure that we kind of discussed it, because I didn't want people to feel like, oh, just because those were the first three who responded. I mean, well, I just want to make sure.
Right.
So, okay.
Go ahead.
We got to continue on with this.
Those are things.
Yeah, but I need to say something.
Yes.
Everybody keeps saying the first three that responded. I understand that, but what I want to reiterate from now on, if something is time consuming or time sensitive, I'm requesting a phone call, because I carry a phone all day long, and if I'm working a 14-hour day, I can't get to my email, and that doesn't mean I can't comment, because I don't have my email. I got a right as a board member to be part of the conversation, and I'm saying from now on that first come first served doesn't matter, but still, if you can't get a hold of a board member in a timely manner to email, then we need to get a phone call so that we know there's a discussion going on. Because if my phone is bleeping when I come back at 9 o'clock at night, I'm going to answer it. So I'm probably not going to check my emails. So that's all I'm saying. My preference, if there's an issue, that you call me and I'll give you an answer right away. But it's hard when you catch up to a conversation that's like 8 or 9 hours old, and people have been talking. You can't get into it because you're not up to speed. So from now on, when we do that, please, I'll take a phone call so I know what's going on.
First thing on, not the first thing on the agenda, but one of the things on the agenda from a financial perspective is we have an amendment, a grant amendment that's been approved by New York State Education, and it's on for the board to ratify. It's just a reclassification of some expenditures. The total grant remained at $10,000. We're just moving some money between contractual purchase services, supplies and materials, and professional salaries. Additionally, there are four budget transfers requested on this evening's agenda. One of them being health services for parochial students, for district residents that are attending private schools, parochial schools. The district is required to continue to provide nursing services under those schools. We don't have enough money in the specific budget line item, so this budget transfer is just to get that lined up so that we can reimburse the district that provided the services. We have specifically here, we have Seton Academy and Seton Catholic. One is the primary school, one is the secondary school. One actually is sited within the Plattsburgh City School District. The other one is sited within the Peru School District. Those schools provide the nursing services within that district for this. The next one is reallocating textbook budget money within the district. We received New York State Education Department aid reimbursement on textbook expenditures. It's something that we try to pay attention to. In past years, we've been fortunate enough to actually budget more than the textbook reimbursement amount, but in the last few years, it's just been the textbook reimbursement amount that we've budgeted. We're realigning it so that the buildings that need additional purchases and the buildings that haven't utilized all theirs yet, we're getting it into the building that needs it. So this is a movement within the textbook category, but for one particular building. Additionally, we have a budget transfer request for tuition for foster placement students. Again, these are students who were living within the district of Beekmantown Central School at the point in time that they had a classification from Department of Social Services and were placed in foster placement outside of the district. Beekmantown is required to reimburse tuition to the district that does provide the education. We're short on that budget line item, so that is another one of the budget requests tonight to move $26,814 in. We had some available money in the BOCES occupational education line where we had budgeted for the same number of students as the prior year, but when the October deadline came around, there were actually less students actually in the program, so there's a little bit of capacity there that we could use for this to shift it from one tuition to another tuition. And the final one is moving. I had been mentioning that we were watching the heating fuel oil for the year as well as the electricity. On the heating fuel oil, our gallons, our consumption of gallons has come in again less than what we had reserved for, and we also did not see the price fluctuations that we were potentially facing this year. On the electricity, we actually purchase our electricity through a co-op service, which is through the St. Lawrence Lewis BOCES Consortium. It's actually called SMEC. Within that, we still purchase the line access through NYSEG, but we actually purchase the electricity through the consortium called SMEC. Within that, we have an option to opt in voluntarily if we choose to purchasing hedge contracts for electricity. We've done that based upon 50% of our usage of our electrical kilowatts through SMEC, and it's resulted in a little bit more than $50,000 worth of savings in this current year. We had a similar thing last year. So I've looked at those two items as a spot to go to pull a budget transfer to provide funds for Dan to take care of some deferred maintenance projects. As you may recall, we've reduced his budget 3 years ago from in excess of $100,000 for maintenance of the plant and facility to just $25,000. So we've got $293,000 on that as available to keep within that department, but to utilize it in an area that had been cut down. That's it on the financial aspects. The one other update was on the a recent board meeting on the superintendent search. You had asked Joanne and I to coordinate with Mr. King, and just to let the board know that that process continues to move along daily. Joanne is spending a lot of time coordinating with Mr. King's secretary, and the advertising brochures and all of the day-to-day activities are underway, and we're included in your packet on that, and we are right now still meeting the original timeline that Mr. King had put out for the district, which was a very short, tight timeline.
Yeah.
That's it.
Anybody have any questions for me? Okay, Mr. Perrier isn't here. Committee reports.
I have two of them.
Okay.
Policy committee, we met last week. We discussed a purchasing policy as well as the regulations that we are bringing to the board. That was NISBA, right, who basically made these recommendations. So we reviewed them and are bringing them forward for the board to vote. We were going to do some code of conduct on the extracurricular, but that we ran out of time at that meeting. And because some parties couldn't make that meeting, we're going to do the next one will be our June meeting. And we're going to make that meeting most likely starting around like 7 o'clock so someone more of the coaches can attend that meeting. And then we had some discussion on the valedictorian salutatorian. We have no policy yet, but just having some discussions on, you know, should we recognize that? Should we have a policy recognizing that? Or do we want to not have any kind of policy? So that was what we had going on with that. Then my other policy one was the operations. We just had our meeting earlier. Four things. I believe in your packet you have the proposed buildings and ground project list year end, and that's why we're requesting the budget transfers tonight. Two items that we also discussed today that would be added to that list was the transformer and surge protector power conditioner that Mr. Amo brought up that failed. And then there's also, we have an auxiliary generator control board that we think needs to be replaced, and that would fix, I guess, the generators kicking on sometime when it shouldn't be. So we're going to hopefully, that would take care of that, and if it doesn't, we can actually return that. So effectively, with these budget transfers, we hope to get everything that we have on the list, including these two items, in, but that would be kind of up to Dan to prioritize if certain things, if he, you know, basically he's got a certain amount of money, if he runs out, then he's gotten done what he can get done. And then the last thing was is that there was an update on the Excel Phase 2 project status. We had Atlantic Testing Laboratories was the lowest request for pricing for asbestos abatement and removal.
And monitoring.
So that was I guess there was a couple of proposals. Tetra Tech reviewed both of them and recommended this as they were the lowest request and they approved that. So that, I think, covers it.
Does that cover it?
Yep. So that was about what we have going on.
Okay. Audit Committee met on May 10th. Our reason for our meeting was we reviewed the February and March internal financial reports. We did discuss them quite extensively. Some of the other things that we discussed were extracurricular clubs and possibly providing more training for the advisors so they have a better understanding of what we expect for them to report back to audit committee and the board. And most importantly, we discussed Carl Safar, and he will be starting his internal audit fieldwork on May 23rd.
Any other committees? Any questions for the committees? Item 4, minutes. Result, the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting the Board of Education held on the multiple dates.
I'll move the list.
Second.
Eric and Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item B, result that the Board of Education does by here accept the minutes of the committee meetings held on 4/9/13.
I'll move the list.
Okay.
Second.
Eric, and seconded by Debbie. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. CSE CPSC recommendation. Result, the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the CPSC recommendations dated 5/14/13. Motion by Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Eric. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Resolve, the superintendent of the school recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CSE recommendations dated 5/14/13.
Motion.
Motion by Kathy. Seconded by Debbie. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Resignation. Resolve that the superintendent of the schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept the resignation of Amy Campbell as a social studies teacher effective May 4th, 2013.
Motion.
March 4th.
March 14th.
Okay. 4th.
Richard motion.
Yes.
Debbie second.
Richard first, Debbie second.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't have to amend it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have. Elimination of positions. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education to abolish the following positions for reasons of economy, effective June 30th, 2013. The Board of Education hereby directs the superintendent to notify affected individuals affected on or before May 8th, 2013.
Motion.
Motion by Richard.
Second.
Second by Eric. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Appointments. Resolved that superintendent of school recommends that the Board of Education to approve the following substitute appointments beginning on the date indicated.
Move the list.
Eric?
Second.
Second by Debbie. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Resolved that superintendent of school recommends that the Board of Education to approve the following temporary on-call appointments beginning on the date indicated.
Move the list.
Motion by Eric.
Second.
Seconded by Pauline. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item C, resolved that superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education to approve the letters of agreement between Dale J. Tompkins, certified teacher for the blind and visually handicapped at the Beekman Sound Central School District, to provide orientation and mobility services and 1 or 2 hour sessions per week from 5:15 to 6:21:13 at a rate of $187.50 per session per student's IEP.
Motion.
Motion by Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item D, resolved superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education to appoint the following temporary summer help from 7:01 to 8:12.
Move the list.
Eric?
Second.
Seconded by Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Retirement. Resolved the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to amend the retirement date of Ron Howard, bus driver, from 6:21 to 9:06:13 from the board meeting minutes of 3:12:13.
Motion.
Motion by Richard.
Second.
Second by Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Miscellaneous. Resolved that superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education to approve the side letter of understanding for summer school between the Beekmantown Teachers Association, NYSET, AFT, NEA, AFL-CIO, and Beekmantown Central School District dated 4/30/13, and authorize the superintendent of schools to execute a side letter of understanding on behalf of the district.
Motion.
Motion by Richard.
Second.
Second by Eric. Any questions? Roll call.
Eric Anderson.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin. Debbie Pasino.
Yes.
Colleen Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trumbly.
Resolved, superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education to approve the memorandum of agreement between the Beekmantown Central School District and the Beekmantown Administrators Association on behalf of one of its members effective 5/14/13.
Motion.
Motion by Eric.
Second.
Richard.
Second by Eric. Roll call.
Eric Anderson.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin. Debbie Pasino.
Yes.
Colleen Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trumbly.
Under policies, resolved the Board of Education does hereby approve the following policies.
I'll move the list.
Eric.
Second.
Second by Debbie. Any questions on it? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Financial. Resolved that the Board of Education accept the following report presented by the Audit Committee.
Move the list.
Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Eric. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item B. Resolved that the Board of Education acknowledge receipt of the warrant reports for February and March 2013.
Motion.
Motion by Debbie.
Second.
Seconded by Eric. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item C, resolved that the Board of Education acknowledge receipt from the budget transfer report for February and March 2013 and due to due to and due from report as of February and March of 2013.
Motion.
Motion by Eric.
Second.
Seconded by Pauline. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Resolved that the Board of Education accept the extracurricular report for the months of January and February and March.
Motion.
2013.
Second.
Motion by Eric, second by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item E, resolved the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following transfers over $5,000.
Move the list.
Richard?
Second.
Second by Eric. Any questions? Roll call.
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
April Bingo?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin? Debbie Papna?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Sue Drumley?
Item F, resolved that the superintendent of the schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept the grant amendment number 002 for the NYSED approved mentor and term teacher program for the 2012-13 year, modifying certain expenditures of $1,000 plus or minus under project 0063130115 and approved the revised expenditures as follows.
Second.
Eric, seconded by Richard. Roll call.
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
April Bingo?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin? Debbie Papna?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Sue Trombley?
Okay, additional items to discuss. CVTech Certified Personal Trainer Program Proposal.
Yes, I believe I included in your packet information of a proposal submitted to the district in regards to providing or using our facilities for a program or a course that CVTech would like to teach. If you think of it in very simple terms, CVTech would say our class for this certified trainer program is held on the Beacontown campus. And that would mean that each school district that signed up for that COSER to take the program would in fact be able to do so through our facilities should we get the arrangements to work out. I think I was cautious, and if I wasn't enough in my print, I want to say it publicly, that of course we got to work with our schedule, with our physical education teachers to be sure that they're the available times that the CVTech is requesting for such a program to be offered in fact doesn't infringe on our own instructional program. So they presented the a proposal, and you have it in front of you. I just wanted to apprise you of it and make note of the fact that there will be some more conversations necessary, both with our scheduling of high school and middle school classes using the fitness center and using our gymnasium. And if there's a way to accommodate both those interests, then it's a pretty exciting opportunity that could be made available. A student in their proposal, as is noted, would complete a two-year program, leave the program with a certificate to be a certified trainer. And that's nice while they're still in school that they'd be able to actually have a certificate when they graduate to in fact begin employment, quite possibly, into that field. So we're on the exploring edge of it, but given that they complimented me with a proposal as I'd asked them to do so, this was their first flush effort to say, here's what we got in mind. And so now you are aware of it, and with your permission, I will continue the dialogue with CVTech and with our administrators and our teachers who use the facilities to see how much of their proposal is doable in the context of what we need to make available for our own students. If a modification is necessary because the schedule is conflict in any way, I certainly would have the conversation in that direction. See, can you do something different with the hours that you've asked for or the frequency in which you would like to offer the course? Can we still talk about it? At some point, it'll become pretty apparent that we're either on track or it looks like it's not going to work because of too many conflicts. So that's my informational item for you as a board to know.
Sounds great.
Okay. I shared a letter that I received from Plattsburgh High with the board, and I'd just like to know what your feelings are on it. We don't have much time right now, but in 5 minutes we've got to move over to the
board. Should we maybe hold off so that we can spend more time with it?
We can come back to it there. We can spend a few minutes now and then come back to it then. Yes,
okay.
that's what I wanted to comment on, that we did get a letter from Mr. Short from the Foster City School District. It was in our packets, but apparently it wasn't received in timely enough to be put on the agenda to be discussed. But he suggests the ideas that deserve exploration could include shared superintendent, human resource officers, curriculum coordinator, payroll functions, transportation management, health, physical and education, athletic coordinator, and certain buildings and ground management functions. This could be shared services with the Plattsburgh City School District, saving us money, saving them money. The only problem is they have got a man, Mr. Pohl, coming on May 29th at 9 o'clock to look into their building use. They've already requested him, and he's already scheduled to come. They're inviting us, a couple of members of the Board of Education, to explore the partnerships and offering the board to have a couple of representatives participate in the meeting with Mr. Pohl and their board of board representatives. So I think it would be something to look into. I think we should look into all options at this point that are available to us. I mean, we don't have to do it, but it's certainly not going to hurt. It's not going to cost us anything, and it's certainly not going to hurt to look into it.
Yes,
Pat? I would definitely be interested in hearing what they have to say. I mean, it's not a commitment. It's an investigation. Yes. And I think I would be interested in finding out what the prospects are.
Any feelings for the rest of the board?
I mean, I think we should definitely try and get some board representatives, because at minimum, we can explore the ideas, and then it begins the dialogue with another district on some of the different options that may be available. And, you know, we may find some we don't think are going to work. We may find others that, hey, we can see this really working. Mm-hmm. Or we can see it working down the road. But at least once you have those discussions, that it can be a little bit easier and back in the mind of saying, you know, even if it doesn't work now, 2 or 3 years down the road, we might say, yeah, we could see it happen because something occurred, some change.
I think we should ask for, I don't think I can do it. I think you should ask for some volunteers and see if anybody's willing and send 2 or 3. You know, it's an exploratory, you know.
April, are you interested?
Yeah.
At May 29th at 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
I think it's in the letter, is it?
What date is the 29th on?
Day of the week.
That would be a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday, 29th.
Wednesday. No, the vote's the 21st.
Yeah.
Add 7 days, that's the 28th, and then the 29th.
The day when school is back in session.
No, I can contact Mr. Short and see what a good time would be and get a hold of whoever is interested. I can't go. I've got a commitment on that day. I'd like to go, but I can't. But they are going to be, this Mr. Pohl is going to be going around the city school district looking at buildings and stuff, so I don't know if it's at 9, if he's going to be doing that at 9 and then meet later. I can call Mr. Short and find out and let anyone know.
Find out how, I mean, he said a contingency, so like a group. Find out what his limit is on site.
The thing with it is, I can contact whoever wants to volunteer.
Yes,
and,
I'd be interested.
Yeah, Kathy, Debbie, and
Kathy.
I guess you're free. We don't want over that.
Yeah.
Well, three yeah, I mean, at least between the three, even if only two can make it, it's still
a
good representation.
It's a good allowing us to attend, so okay. I think you should step a little bit.
You want on if it's three?
Hmm?
If there's three, you want on?
Well, it depends. There's four people.
Yeah. Oh,
and plus, it can't conflict with the personnel.
But I'll get back to you. Okay, I guess we need to move over to the auditorium.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
Under additional items, I don't know if it's already in the works or if it's something that we should consider, but are we going to use our automated phone system to remind people of the upcoming budget vote? Or should we?
Well, the part of it is, are we trespassing the line there as far as for would we the electioneering there or something like that if we put that on there?
Just reminding people of the budget?
If there was a message informing via telephone that the budget voted
second. We probably have a specific message, but I don't believe advising them.
All of our messages.
The hours, place.
I mean, we send out a mail that does that already, so.
Yeah, we're sending out the newsletter.
Yeah.
So
I think it would be great.
Yeah.
If it's the wishes of the majority, I mean, that's.
Bother me.
Yes, Jensen.
The one concern I have is if we keep using robocall to the point people are going to tune it out. And our budget vote is already highly publicized. I'm not against using the robocall, but I think that we should weigh the value of it to make sure that this isn't one of those instances where it gets one more intrusion into their home. When it's in the newspaper, there's signs up, it's, you know. So, but it's just a thought. Just put it out there.
Well, if it's going to happen, then you can give your directions. So we are go or no go in this.
I'd like to go.
Yes.
I don't care.
I'd like to go. I think it's an important one to be
there. Yeah. Yeah. All
right. Just keep it in mind as we move forward that we don't want to beat it.
Oh, yeah. I don't object to it.
I agree with you. Yeah, we do have to think about it because we don't want to get.
Gary, do you have any comment on that?
Yeah. I mean, I understand Kathleen's point about the intrusion, but most of our calls are scheduled in the evening when people are home. If the board's wish is to do this, we can schedule the call for during the day so it's on people's answering machines. So it's not an interruption to the flow of their evening. So we kind of accommodate both.
Why don't we try that once and see what happens?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move over to the other girl.
Are we going to be coming back here?
Yes, we have to come
back here. No, we won't.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's something we should maybe we can ask. You know, we got
to do it ourselves.
Yeah. So, hey, can you find out what's going on?
Because they're saying, oh, you can do it for retirement home or something. I mean, we could.
But then that way we know how we could market it.
Right.
I agree. I mean, because otherwise, you know, people get scared off. But if they said, well, we're considering, even if they don't have a definite yes, but just like, hey, these are some of the things we're willing to consider, then it gives a chance.
And the other thing we really want to consider doing is, I haven't seen it in a while, but someone told me it's pretty filthy.
Right.
Down just one more seat because I'm going to put Mary and Joe Labrand over here because I have a couple board members absent, so it's funny, just one seat, okay?
No, I get to listen to say, according to my lawyer, I'm leaving the bill. Do they have a recycle thing out just out in the hall?
You just go out the door by the library and check it out and you're in a little
long. Yeah.
I like having buffers all the time.
Come on over to by you, Rash.
Come on, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
That led to a mandatory
cutting of some programs and freezing of others and elimination of others has an impact on school districts, because if we take federal funds for any of our programs through grants like we do with Title I, as a federal school we accept $100,000, the uncertainty of how much of an impact those dollars will have on our district at a time of developing a budget poses a challenge. Now, some of these we resolved, obviously, prior to the board accepting and adopting the budget, but that's why it's up there. And funding of retiree benefits, obviously, retirees who are under previous agreements and arrangements in contract agreements, they continue to have, if they do have continued funding of retiree benefits, we factor those into developing each 3 years budget. So that represents our budget challenge. There are some basic assumptions that shape the budget, and that includes our revenues. We know that there's $1,065,000 of applied fund balance that was used to apply to this current budget, this proposed budget, or now I can say adopted budget. And that is down from $2.1 million. And I don't have the other details up here on the slide, but I will point out that the last several years, the board has authorized continued use of fund balance as a way of offsetting the cost of each school's district's, each school year's budget. And there comes a point, and we're at it, as you'll see in a few minutes, where fund balance is no longer even a viable consideration to be able to attack any future expenditure problems. But for this particular budget, $1,065,000 was applied with board authorization, of course, to do so. We have our projected total property tax assessment base. We're estimating a 0 to 2%. That's based on historical data as opposed to real data. The Office of Real Property does not give us the actual assessed valuation numbers until well after the budget is considered and voted upon by the voters. But we always try to estimate from past practices and history what that range might be. It's going to be typically somewhere between the 0 and 2%, and our budgeting forecast put dollars in that range. So if we're on mark, the budget is going to cover that property assessment valuation. If we're off mark, it's going to be, right, looking at the 2% range, we're assuming that that's the upper end. So we could be needing all of it, or it could be not as much necessary. But that's our projected range. We have increased state aid over the governor's proposal. My earlier slide in the earlier presentation spoke to increased state aid, and I mentioned nothing literally about the governor, but to understand that while we did get an increase in state aid this year, and I would characterize that increase above what the governor proposed as obviously welcome news. You followed it in the newspaper articles and the news clips of all of our neighboring districts, including ours. You'll recognize that most districts in our particular BOCES enjoyed an increase in state aid. That sells very well, and it does help defer costs of a budget. I would be less than forthright if I said that the rate of that increase for the school district, in fact, takes us out of concern bill, because look at the wonderful increase in state aid that we received. Quite frankly, this is, I could use the term, and I will, microphone's here. It's more like a down payment on what is owed to school districts, because we have lost millions of state aid over the past several years. So an increase of our projected loss this year helps us, but it's an increase on a projected loss, as it were. It doesn't make us whole by any stretch. But we're very happy to take the aid that is available through the legislature because we're going to apply it to this budget problem. And our tax levy increase is set at 3.5%. The allowable tax levy that was available to the board to consider in developing the budget was at 4.22%. That cap that I referred to earlier translates to 4.22%. We went with the board's wishes and well intended and certainly well advised wishes, went back in the budget, found out we had more state aid at the time than we knew, and able to drop that down to this budget being built on a 3.5% tax levy cap. Again, I didn't do a comparison. I don't know if there's value depending on how you look at the question, but if you look at or trace back to the various newspaper reports of recent week or two, I think we found that 3.5% is probably among the lower end of those tax levy cap increases that are declining in other districts. So we're very pleased that we're able to continue with our programming without having significant changes to our services for students, and the tax levy cap is underneath the tax levy cap of this budget. Other budget
budget issues that shape the budget. We do have some increases in salaries in some groups, not all groups, but some groups. There's a 4% increase in health insurance premiums. I mentioned earlier that income health insurance increases. Districts have to accommodate that in their budget plan. The original proposal through our consortium talked about our health insurance increase of approximately 87%. And the Board of Governors, of which I sit, and also superintendents and our BOCES sit, took that figure to task with the provider of our program for health insurance. And we encouraged them by vote. We encouraged them to take more out of their fund balance to apply to their health insurance coverage for all of us and reduce our rates. So our rates that we voted on are at 4%. As opposed to a higher percent was at first recommended. 16.25% contribution rate for TRS, or the teacher retirement system. That's up, that's 5.1% increase from the amount that we fund for this current year. And as I mentioned earlier, these two rates, ERS and TRS, are rates the comptroller sets, and therefore you're seeing a 20.9% contribution rate for ERS, which represents a 2% increase over the present year. So those increases, mandated increases, if you will, have to be factored into the budget, and that was presented in appropriate presentations. What's been maintained or included in the budget? When we talk about budgeting and dollars, often we can drift from, well, what do we have? It sounds, some issues, some ways, it sounds a little bit dire, and it is, and will be for another year or two. But what do we have with the budget that we're able to maintain? You see some of the items that I picked out of many others that have been retained, that we're able to continue those services, such as the elementary class size limits have now increased. The contract language associated with class size limits keep us within, which come in that range, and those class size limits have now increased. We have new funding for safety issues, that specifically isolated cameras and door locks. Our school district safety committee, represented by staff members as well as board members, has heard certainly through the recent tragedies, more recent tragedies, that we want to continue to keep our focus on safety for the district. What more can we do? What's possible to do with scarce resources? And so we are able to budget a small amount of money that will help us address, if needed, an additional camera, if that's our direction. More likely, it will include funding for door locks so that the interior doors of our buildings can, in fact, be locked in the case of a lockdown or in case of an emergency. Make no mistake about it, those are delay strategies in the event of emergency. We've learned too much from too many school districts, that intrusion into a facility, almost any facility, is not impossible for someone who's so inclined. But at least it provides us additional security measures, and it does provide time in the unlikely event, highly unlikely event, that our district will need to be worried about that. At least the door locks give everyone in the building a little bit more security and time to address the issue than we otherwise would have if the doors weren't lockable. So we have that in this budget. We have the same number of extracurricular activities as we currently provide to the district. That current level, as you may or may not recall, represents a 50% reduction of those offerings from the previous year. So we're not reducing the reduction anymore, and that's my good news items, that this budget will still allow us to fund those extracurricular activities at the same level that we do presently. We have increased technology support for state assessments. That should be a bragging moment. It's more of a complaint for me, because that's an unfunded mandate. The state of New York has required that we're going to have to, all school districts in New York will have to do online testing and scoring of the state-required exams at your local campus. Now, what that means is all school districts in the state of New York have to figure out if they have enough infrastructure, wideband capability, actual units of computer tablets or computers or whatever, to make that happen. Not the least of which has to guarantee that there's no glitches in the middle of the exam, which could invalidate the test results. And as everyone knows, the score that a student receives under the KPI translates into ratings of teacher performance and administrative performance and school district performance. So there's an unfunded mandate that's got a lot of us worried about how to technically pull that off. So we, in this budget, have built in the halfway point of accommodating that. We have an estimation of the cost to be fully implemented computer-wise and wideband
but has much too much to build into one budget. So their capital budget is a two-phase process. This year will accomplish half of it, this next budget will accomplish half the problem. In 2014-15, there will be a request to finish off the task, because that's the year that the law is in effect. Two assistant principal positions have been retained in this budget. Tremendous amount of work associated with APPR and continually dealing with student discipline issues. And also the opportunity to expand into some instructional areas such as technology support, partnerships with community colleges, etc. The time to do that and the resources to do that are best served by retaining the positions, two of those administrative positions. They are included in this budget. What else has been maintained? UPK funding. As many people know, we get UPK funding from the state based on numbers of students who participate in the program. And the district has historically, in this budget, provided some support dollars to encourage and make available even more funding available, therefore, for more kids to be in the UPK program. So the governor's budget proposal, and I should say now the legislative budget, includes same level of funding for our district for UPK. So we're happy to say that this budget, with the board's blessing, has enabled us to put the two halves together, the state funding plus the board's historical commitment to UPK, and we're able to continue to offer UPK on the same model that we have this year. Advanced placement and common advanced placement electives are still present in this budget. I can't give you the list of what all of those are, but they have were included as maintaining those advanced opportunities whenever we possibly could, given the staff that can teach them, as well as the student interest, as well as the opportunity to make them available. And so that's included in the budget. We have a funding, which is estimate funding, to maintain two FTE positions. If the sequestration effect is a 10% reduction, at one time we were talking about sequestration effect being a larger number, an unknown variable. We have a little bit more certainty in what that sequestration effect is, and as a result, where we have in that budget still maintained dollars to accommodate sequestration should it climb higher than even our estimate is. That's also included in our budget. Our music and physical education staffing remained as is in the 2012-2013 level. Previous budgets of those areas, among many others, had to be involved in consideration of reductions in either time or positions. Those events have already occurred, and we feel comfortable, as well as the board feels comfortable with this budget adoption, that we have the staffing and we want to maintain those extra programs and services, because they're okay with this extra. They're just another set of skills and programs for our students to participate in. We're happy that they're included in this budget. Maintain the 2012-13 levels of modified JV and varsity interscholastic athletics. You talk to young students today as parents or as grandparents, you will know that students, when they talk about going to school, will often begin to cite the extracurricular and social events that come with that, along with participation in clubs, there's musicals, etc. Comes another element of association that is thought of by students as a reason to be at Bigfoot Down, which gives them a chance to participate in the interscholastic athletics, or to whatever level we can make it available. And so this budget does reflect maintaining the levels that we had in place in 2012-2013. But again, as a reminder, 2011-2012 levels were higher than 12-13. We simply maintained based on reductions of a year earlier. We've not made more reductions, we've not made any increases, we're able to maintain the programs and services. A few other slides of information. How does our district compare to others in terms of enrollment? You can see that we are second largest of all of our school districts in our consortium. And not by a lot are we not the first, if you will, in terms of size. Although, as I pointed out before, all school districts, I think with the exception of one, on that list is experiencing a student decline in enrollment. Ours is obviously one of those that is, so we are a district that will experience, at least in the immediate forecast, some decline in enrollment. With that, we'll come future budget challenges, what to do with fewer students, and what's that magic number of those students, and when does that start to translate into less programs, less people, less services. I can tell you that our reduction in student population across K-12 amounts to less than a full classroom for any one person. So the entire K-12
reduction, if you will, is less than, so I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 students, 24, 25 students from the previous year. Again, keeping an eye on it, and the board will, and the district will, when does that begin to become a number of important as it affects program and services and programming staff in the future? But that's just a reference point to let you know where we are in terms of population. I mentioned earlier maintaining class size enrollment limits. That hasn't changed, and I put together a few slides just to point out where we are and where we are able to go or not go, as the case would be in the future. Again, we're going to have some declining enrollments. So that's going to factor into this chart over the next year or two. What is important for me to say as a professional educator is that I am totally conscious and cognizant of the value of smaller engagements in classrooms with students. There are a tremendous amount of obligations and pressures placed on students in an environment where testing has unfortunately become such the word of the business of the day that the art of teaching and the spirit, if you will, of engaging learners with teachers can sometimes be compromised. That's made easier when you have smaller class sizes. Having said that, I'm also an administrator responsible for that to the board and to the community of fiscal budget, one is fiscally responsive to the times and the challenges of the day. So my point is that our enrollments in these classrooms are not at the maximums, as I pointed out earlier, that they were. That's a different question than, is it that great that we're having all of our classrooms stuffed, if you will, to the max of all the possible kids put there. It's not a wish or desire on anybody's part, but we're in a tough time, and we have to face that fiscal reality for at least a short term. And I've done it by both buildings, so first one with BPS. Cumberland Head Elementary does the same thing. You take your kindergarten through five, you can see what the number of teachers were needed. Currently, the teachers in 13-14 projected to be needed and what our class sizes are projected to be. And you can see the numbers are up there that do fall within the guidelines that I mentioned earlier. So our 2013-14 budget impact, our budget increase projected at 699,728. We have a budget-to-budget percent increase. What does that mean in terms of increased percent? Approximately 1.89%. The tax rate increase was 2.8%, and our projected tax rate for 2013-14 is projected to be at $17.36 per dollar. I mentioned that, and I think it's important to say that the actual tax rate is set later in the year because of the evaluations that are coming from the property tax assessment. But also, as I said in an earlier slide, there are two more contracts being negotiated, and there could be, if there's positive impacts in front of those negotiations, they ultimately could have an effect on the property tax rate. So this is what we know to be our projection as we sit here, sitting here tonight, and that's the information that the board had at its disposal when it voted to support the budget a couple weeks ago. We have our budget-to-budget revenue page. You can see the list there. There are no handouts as well. It's easier to read there. I won't necessarily isolate them, so we certainly can follow along. But we have the difference between our non-tax revenues from one year to the next, appropriated fund balance, which is a key number. If you remember, I said we're applying for the 13-14 budget, $1,065,000. That is less than the $2,117,000 applied to this year's budget. So any way you look at it, and I don't want to have this drumbeat obnoxiously loud, but please understand that over the last several years, the board has committed more and more of its available fund balance to offset the otherwise cost of education in the budget that it presents to the voters. We're coming to an end on the board's ability to do that. And 2014-2015, as an example, you can look at the 13-14 appropriated fund balance, and you realize I'm saying the last thing to point to it. The $1,065,000 will be what is needed to open the conversation in 2014-15. In other words, that fund balance will be there again, and we have to make it up in order to keep programs and services that we're describing tonight intact. So we do have challenges, and there's still to come. Perhaps there'll be a change in the amount of state aid that is afforded. The economy improves and continues to improve. The health department says, TRS, different percentage next year for 2014-15. There's more state aid available to the legislature. All of those factors put in fact affect affect the margin of makeup money, if you will, to start a new budget cycle. But it's only imperative, if you want to hang on to these sheets for another year, you'll be able to refer back to them that this was the night I talked to you about that. There's an opening bell of $65,000 to make up in 14-15 just to roll over as if nothing else changes. It's got to be made up. So you see our budget increase, $17,036 in 2013-14. The rest of the information is pretty self-explanatory. There's our estimated 1%, and I've got about 0-2% of our projected projected taxable assessed valuation. That property information will be known for a while when we're budgeting, and on the assumption that there'll be a 1% increase in there. Summary of the three-part budget. This is the one, the reason I printed two documents for you this evening. One is the PowerPoint, which is the thinner of the two. Most of you have been following that. The other one is a much more detailed document to explain what is commonly referred to as a three-part budget presentation. A three-part budget requirement is imposed on school districts to report out to the community and the voters three distinct areas that are broken down in much greater detail. So we have done that for you for those in attendance tonight. There are multiple copies made available at various locations throughout the district. They have been on the website. There are multiple places for anyone who's not here tonight to go to if you wanted to look at much more detailed, line by line, department by department, item by item, how this dollar amount of this budget got to be the number that it did. So I'm going to reference a couple of what I did. I pulled a couple of the document pages out of the thicker package that you have, and I isolated them and put them into the slideshow because it gives summaries. And I thought, why not cover right here as part of the summary, and then you can look at the supporting details of your ledger. But here's our summary of the three-part budget. There are three categories that are required to report on and break out. One is called administration, the other one is called program, and the third one is called capital. And what we need as administration is all the costs associated with administering or managing or overseeing the school district. And it covers all kinds of forms, from board of education superintendents to the departments and budget managed by people. All of those costs associated with it, all that stuff is covered under Section 1. Section 2 speaks to the program costs. The program cost by generic title refers to the instructional program, kindergarten, first grade through fifth grade, electives, coursework, anything else associated with coming to school that involves programs and services for being called in school. The third area is capital, and by its own definition, I'm sure you can figure that out. It has to do with the infrastructure, the lights, the heat, the buildings, the rents, anything associated with the infrastructure of school buildings and school facilities. That's where those costs get contained. The budget, therefore, the budget document, the thicker document, is a detailed breaking out of what goes into each of those areas. And so I'm going to move forward and point out a couple of things you can see. I want to move forward and point out a couple of items that might get your attention otherwise, and just kind of make it easy to the point. That's very difficult to read, that's why I said I'll put it in the print handout that you have in front of you. But it's the same document. It's the first page of your large handout is the administration. Section 1 is the administration. If you can see it up there, I'll point to it. If you can't, you'll find it on your paper. But you'll see an increase here with district meetings, for example, and it seems to suggest a tremendous increase, 270% is a tremendous increase. What I want to point out is that the costs that go in that account is scooping up all of the budget, all the costs associated with district meetings that have been scattered in different accounts, we now put in one category that worked there the year before. So obviously, if you scoop them all up and put them under one heading and then work in the previous year and budget that way, it's going to show the increase. Those costs are associated with budget growth and they truly reflect the true costs, postage, advertising, printing of forms, etc. All of those are now located in one cost center. I'm going to get on to my next one. You're going to find my next something called records management, if I can find it. Here's somewhere there. Records management, and if you can see 100% increase, and it's a zero, and now there's money. Why are we doing that? we're trying to make a conversion to digital management of all of our school records. You would have to be in the wall, as I refer to it, to truly appreciate the amount of time and energy it takes to go back through archival records that are required by law to keep, some of them 7 years, some of them much, much longer. When a request comes forward from any agency or anybody who has a right to have that information, and it involves our clerical staff, sometimes administrators, pouring through, finding the right box, going through all the items, searching through it, and getting to the document of question. By moving to a clerical, by moving to a digital recording of all of our documents, obviously you go on a computer and say, find this, and you search it and save a lot of time and energy, and also a lot of sore backs from climbing up and downstairs trying to bring out the boxes. So that item is in there, and so we're going to previous year. Administrative charges, I'm looking at 1981. 1981. Administrative charges have gone up, an increase there. What goes into the administrative charges? As you may or may not know, when we purchase services from Wellesley, because we belong to the consortium that we do, all school districts share the administrative costs of any services that are purchased by the members in the organization. So as a result, the administrative budget is presented each year as a separate administrative projected budget to the boards of the school district, school and their consortium, and the boards go down that administrative cost for the next year. So there is an increase for all of the administrative costs for the maintenance of most of these programs in which we have purchase services from. And that's on that day. By law, it is required in the administration portion that the superintendent salary and other benefits are isolated separately, just because of the law, we're required to do so. So on your handout, you can see the projected, the actual salary, the benefits associated with the position for the next school year. Breaking down underneath that are the how the benefits get approved or determined, if you will. Two of those major areas, again, ERF, in this case, teacher retirement system, we have no control of that, boards have no control of that, that's set by the comptroller. And workers' comp, similar, and Social Security, similar. I will point out that, as many know, I attended my letter of retirement, and so the replacement of my position for effect in a positive way, I suppose, some of these numbers, but please also counsel leave that yoke around the board members' neck. I currently do not take health insurance, and therefore, if a candidate does, or your candidate of choice does take health insurance, then that's going to have to be factored into the overall compensation. But after why you see superintendent of schools isolated and not you know, the director of special education or something else, the law requires that the chief executive officer of the school district's portion of the budget be isolated and made religious community. So that's what's on the page. Section 2 is the program cost. The term of the position is in section 2 as well. Here we go. Under program costs, you can see just very quickly by title some of those program costs. Legal, in-service training, I'm just skipping down, school library, audiovisual, health services, guidance services, co-working activities, garage, contract transportation, a huge number of line items going within school district's budget. It's a quite daunting task to put it together and manage it, and we have an excellent group of administrators and supervisors who do that very well and really have. And that's what it appears. So this is our program cost portion of the budget. And I'm looking for your own, if I can get to do, there's probably in-service training in particular, that's this one up here. You'll see an increase in the cost from one year to the next. What goes into the rationale for those increased costs includes things such as our efforts for APPR and regional scoring. I've mentioned many times that administrators have to go through separate training with X number of sessions to demonstrate that they can, in fact, use the new system, that they, if you will pardon my tongue-in-cheek for a moment, have used for years without training, but it is not required that they get the training for APPR, and those are costs that have to be budgeted, so that represents an increase in cost to do so. It also requires that those same individuals be recertified. every year. So after going through the training once, you have to demonstrate to the state that they log on through back through some recertification process, and Brosi's has to charge for that recertification process in order to hold that meeting. So those are new costs that are not in normal budgets, but they are, you know, for the next several years, I assume. So that's that area. 2250 is a quote for handicapped children. Right there, you can see it in your handout as well. There's been a parenthesis on that, and that's a good news, because that means it's less expenses from this current year for our projected cost for next year. When we look at our programs there, for handicapped children, we're looking at all of our efforts for special education cost containments, and there have been many. Opportunities for us to not purchase services from BOCES at a rate that is stiffer, if you will, than we think we can do it ourselves with our own people and our modifications of our program. Diligent work on behalf of the district by Mrs. Short and her staff to be absolutely certain that we're getting every dollar we are entitled to through reimbursements, staff reimbursements, and other reimbursements, as well as careful monitoring of every student in the program, so that when they exit the program, we're consciously aware of being billed as if they're still in the program. A lot of energy put forward to maintain costs there, and we're certainly projecting a decrease of our associated costs for special education as a result of that effort. So I wanted to point that one out to you. A third one to point out, computer-assisted instruction. That one right here, you'll see a slight increase as well. Under computer-assisted instruction, that deals with our two major systems that we purchase, software systems, to help us with APPR, among other things. One of them is called AIMSWeb. It's a contract that we have with a company that gives us access to student performances. Based on data we put in, they can give us a quicker turnaround on where is this child relationship and is it working and target. That's great information for the teachers on the fly, as it were, because teachers can get a really good sense in a very short period of time, is student A to Z, all my students, some of them, are they progressing on a curve of success that we would project they should be at? AIMSWeb helps us determine what that projection should be, but it's a tremendous monitoring tool for the classroom teacher to say, reteach, slow down, go faster, make good, intelligent decisions based on the student data. Another system we purchased, or software program we purchased, is OASIS. Again, that is primarily designed to assist the principals and the teachers to put their data into a software or a computer software program that manages all of the artifacts, if you will, of student achievement. When I say artifacts, I mean that the APPR, the Annual Professional Performance Review Requirement, is such that everyone demonstrates against these criteria in the new evaluation system, showing that you've done it, showing your evidence that you're attacking this one, showing that you're doing really well with each of these pieces. OASIS is designed to let the teachers and administrators throughout the school year jump in that proof as it emerges, so that we don't have a last-minute scramble at the finish line to try to determine, so what was it like? Did you meet your goals? Did you meet your levels of performance that are expected of you through the APPR process? So OASIS and AIMSWeb are increased costs for software programs. We want to continue with those. We're really in the half year or first year of both because of when our APPR is adopted. And we're going to be resubmitting, thank you, Mr. State of New York, by September 1, we have to resubmit the new APPR plan. We don't have the test scores back. We won't have those back until possibly late August, maybe later. And so the test scores on which APPR scores are based, we're going to be submitting a plan in the morning, as it were, waiting to find out how the test scores came in. And by the way, speaking of tests, I know it's a budget presentation tonight, but I can't resist saying again that the projection for student performance with tests for this year is not a good one, because the tests have all been remodified and modified, and in many cases, and you'll find classroom teachers feeling very comfortable saying to mom or dad, that which I used to teach in fifth grade is now introduced as third grade, or even lower. And so this is catching the kids off guard, and so when you get your state report card information from your students, a hug, arm around the shoulder, understand that they didn't necessarily have a bad either, the tests have been renormed, and otherwise, look, they didn't do so well. So kind of keep that in mind when you talk to your kids. Capital capital is the third section of the three-part budget. Capital refers to the infrastructure, as I pointed out to you earlier. There are a couple of notations I believe that I made that I want to bring up to your attention in particular. The very first one is under operations, this one right here. And you'll see again, in parentheses, that's the good news, is a decrease of our current costs this year. We were able to achieve that reduction through a couple of reductions, as you can imagine. 1.0 FTE, or full-time equivalent reduction, in the buildings and grounds department. A typist retirement that will be backfilled but with a reduced position. So that position is no longer going to be a 1.0 position. It's backfilled with a less position. And those and fuel and heating costs, or fuel costs rather, for heating has also been less than we projected in this budget. We should all feel very good about the mild winter that we had. It's a bit of a scientific guessing, if you will, and use those two terms together, to go from one year to the next year to try to anticipate what the cost of fuel will be to heat our buildings based on one or two winters for use of our buildings. So we do rolling five-year averages. We look at our five-year history and we keep going every time we start a new budget. We knock off the first of the fifth one in the afternoon year, and we look to see what is our pattern of usage of fuel. What's the cost of fuel? What's the amount of fuel we use? What are the temperatures that we've experienced during those winters? And what's our best estimate of the cost of fuel to keep the buildings? So that line item is showing a reduction for all of those reasons. We feel pretty good, obviously, and presented it such to the board for adoption. But like any budget, if that area runs into major Siberian kind of wet winter that we haven't had in the industry, obviously there will be some need during next school year to look at budget transfers to accommodate increased costs for heat. But our expenditure plan is voted on and approved by the board, so it's not going to, the expenditure plan doesn't increase. It's just where you find the money from transfers to accommodate shifts in where the money was expected to be found or budgeted, if you will. That's one item. The second item is debt service. This item right here, debt service, refers to the cost of the district to pay for services incurred over previous years, debt, if you will. The money is given away, and they say thanks for asking, and go back next year, we'll give you more. It's like taking on a loan at a bank when we do van services for buses, for example, that's set up using a 5-year plan, and you have a debt service payback option or payback responsibility over that period of time. So we have debt service bills that are built into our capital budget for this year. And they are based on some previously committed expenditures, loss bands as an example, but also some adjustments to our Excel requirements that are timeline to get all the projects done regarding going out and doing and getting additional band to finish those projects and spread those payments out. So those two issues put together result in a modest increase in the area of the capital. If you look, however, at the overall percent increase in that area, I could have done this for all of them, it's a 0.07% over everything I just described on this page amounts to a 0.07% increase over the current levels. Fund balance summary, I've spoken to that briefly, but here we go. Our fund balance unassigned, which was reported in the audit report on page 42 of the audit report, indicates that as of June 30, 2012, there was $2,543,695 for the fund balance. Of that amount of money, the board in 2013-14 has already authorized expending $1,065,000 of that available fund balance, above 4%. If you will, that's where the rest of this information is going to take us. The state of New York does allow school districts to retain a whopping 4% of your operating budget for that purpose. Anyone, and I say this rhetorically, but I think others probably vouch for this, if you run a business or our own business or run a large business, maintaining 4% for the unexpected, if you will, is a pretty tight margin. And the state of New York, however, has not changed that margin in recent history. So we, this board has retained, wishes to retain, and correctly in my opinion, retain 4% that is allowable through New York State, which means they can retain $1,477,714. when we take the budget of 2012-13 and we say, let's factor in only 4% and not touch that, if you will, to apply to this year's budget, you'll see we're looking at an excess of $981 as a fund balance when we open the doors in 2014-2015. Now, you take that factor, again, a year from now, and put that with the name of something that we're spoken to that has been applied to this budget, and you can begin to get the sense of what has to be done in 2015 in one shape or form. And there are multiple ways it can happen. It's not impossible to get there, but it's through the advertising that we need to brace ourselves on making decisions as a district and as a community so that we can get that budget accomplished without having excessively large requests for increases. How much of the school budget is projected to be paid for by local tax dollars? I'm back now on my presentation, on the slideshow portion of the taxes. You can see real property taxes on the left, approximately 50.2%, and other total revenues, which is state aid, interest payments, etc., a little bit more than 49%. So our total, it's a very crude drawing to just kind of show you that there's a, we're getting close to the disproportionate balancing act between what the state provides to support education and what we as the taxpayers are asked to support education and the programs as we know them to be. This is just a trend analysis chart. It's not any more significant than just visualization of where the trends are taking us with those cost items. We have budgeted expenditures in the blue line. You have aid and levy combined with the purple square. State aid is represented by that yellow triangle and tax levy by that circle. And what we've done in this graph is simply show over a period of years what's the pattern of activity associated with each of those four items. So you can begin to get a trend analysis of where is the trend taking us. So without being elementary for your own understanding, you certainly can analyze it to your pleasure, would point out that if you look at the budget expenditures and the aid and levy combined, up here, they're obviously between 12-13 and 13-14, they're much closer in line. That's a tribute to more fine-tuning of the budget and also some increasing of state aid that are referenced earlier. So they are coming much more closer over the recent 2 years on a convergence path. And that's in part made possible because increase in state aid, a little bit of an uptake here, if you will. You can see from last year to this year, we got a little bit of a bounce. It's an increase over the, it's about, you know, what they really are, but it is an increase over what we've been getting. So that's our trend line for the future. Remember again that our fund balance has been a player in keeping these costs contained to the level that we are. My previous slide is a reminder that that fund balance figure is corrected very rapidly to the future. Here it is, right? And so our fund balance offset the tax levy. And there you go. Our fund balance used, you can see, hasn't been used much in the way of 9-9-10, a significant amount in 10-11, a greater increase in 11-12, a lesser amount in 12-13, but still using it, and more is still used in 13-14. That's the fund balance that, when finished, will be pretty much down to the 4% allowed by the state. At the same time, you can see our budget expenditures have climbed and then dipped, and then they're starting to rise again. Largely part of the TRS, the ERS, and some unfunded mandates, not totally, but partially. But I do want to give credit where credit is due. The state did provide very little matching of our state aid against our tax levy necessary to make the district work, if you will, during those years. Pretty much flatlined. And now our tax levy has increased slightly over the last couple of years, and our state aid was dropping, but now this year it kicked in after thousands of people have offset the impact on more business. You've read the papers, and most districts are confronted with that, and the low story is the same for everyone. The state aid's level of contributions to support education has dwindled, and is not estimating at the level that the cost of doing education is. So we are left with fund balances, reserve accounts, and cuts in program reserves in order to advance. This is just a very quick peek from 11-12, 12-13 tax rate of where is our district, where did our district place during that 2 year period of time. We don't know, again, the 13-14 tax rates, so I don't have that chart up here. But you can see of all of our school districts, this is our relative location, what our neighbors are paying at their tax rate per thousand, as well as compared with the districts, the budget was asking of its taxpayers to support education. Just a reference point. Again, show graphically, historically, if you look at 2003, 2004, and during this period of time, this 3 or 4 year period of time, the tax rate supported by voters over those budget cycles has historically much higher, and then has been a downward trend ever since then, because they've been more fund balance to apply to offset the taxes needed to run the district. Now we're starting to see, because of fund balance going out, also still increasing, we're starting to see a general uptick, if you will, in the tax rate that's necessary. We don't know again 13-14, that's a variable that's determined quite late into the process, but keeping the relativity, if you will, trying to show the relativity.
What's been contributing to this budget to get to this level? We've had some position reductions. 0.20 FTE, Director of Physical Education, has been reduced to that has been reduced to that level. So there's funding available to support physical education supervision, but it's likely going to take a form of a stipend as opposed to a staff member's salary, if you will. That's what this represents. He's wanting to support the supervision of physical education. We also have, earlier this evening, if you're in the boardroom, the board did take action on positions that you see up here that are either retirement positions or positions without backfill or natural reduction. And unlike previous years, I'm able to say that there's a 1.0 reduction in social studies positions, means the position is gone and the individual associated, she does seniority, is affected by the loss. Beyond that, this budget reflects two full-time science positions that will not be filled, but they're based on retirements. Therefore, the district and the individuals that are not affected, they are retiring from their positions. And we also have six retirements, other retirements of science area and other areas, other department areas, if you will, and there will be backfills with some and breakage on those backfills. So that while the individuals are retiring, they are necessarily needed to be filled above a margin of salary of outgoing person against the salary for the incoming person, which we call breakage. There's savings, therefore, because of those activities. So as a result of these position reductions and retirements, they positively affect the result of our otherwise employee costs for programs for next year. In addition, we have 10 retirements which will have backfill with breakage, so will be required primarily in the area of special education. Retirements that will need to be filled with the IEPs, yet there will be breakage generals, and one FTE position that will backfill. Now, the regional amount of question is here. This represents all activities of non-actual results. So 10 retirements of non-instructional nature is on this page. So all of those have been factored into this budget. Now, that's now, but I want to be able to peek into the future and tip into that a little bit. What are our projections for the future that we, as a community, and as a board, and as an administration, we need to be careful and monitor this and be cautious and plan for? One of those is going to be AIS services, Academic Intervention Services. I just pointed out that there's going to be probably a statewide downward trend in the performance level of students for students to rank because of the new Common Core curriculum that's being tested, even though it hasn't had 4 years to be implemented in the classrooms. What that means is that it does trigger those students to become eligible for Academic Intervention Services, which simply means that there may be a need to modify student schedule to give additional time and your staff attention to in order for them to improve. Now, we start with those test scores and see what's wrong with that. We have no control of the tests that are given, but we're obligated to respond to any relative success the students have with those increasingly difficult tests. That requires potentially requires Academic Intervention Services. So while we have staffing in this budget to accommodate a plan to accommodate our projected increases based on the data we know, future years need to pay attention to how many more students qualify for AIS, and will that budget have enough staff members in it to do an AIS service? So that's a kind of like a keep your eye on.
the administration of the state test versus computers, I pointed that out earlier, we have to get the infrastructure ready for that state requirement. No one comes with it, it's a mandate that all schools will do. And as a result of that, we have to work with Larry Mendel and others in the tech department and all of the principals to figure out what's the best way, most economical way, to guarantee that all the students who are now going to be taking state tests in 2014-15, in fact, have an instrument, have an apparatus, and we have a system to which we can give them those tests. So that's a factor to watch for the future. Half of the cost for the apparatus, if you will, here, non-techy word, but we don't know what the platform's going to look like yet. It's going to be a tablet, it's going to be something that's still being worked on, and not invented yet, for all I know. But whatever that's decided on, we set aside our projected halfway cost to get ready for that, rather than 14-15 place a full ticket cost to that year's budget, given some of the circumstances I've already described. So halfway costs are included in this budget. Our fund balance of 4% is relatively depleted. I just reminded you of that on this page, so we've got to attend to that in the future. And we have reserves for compensated absences. It's current by requirement. You have to have your reserve account ready to act on absences that come apparent when the bid is due and say you owe me. The district has to have money to accommodate that number of individuals for which are required to compensate, they're then leaving. The ebb and flow of retirements, new staff members, moving on, breakages, all of that ebb and flow, if you will, creates a very uncertain, inexact science. We simply know that if we built it on the exact number of people every year that could ask for their compensation all at the same time, our fund reserve to accommodate that liability is at 42%, which means less than half of those individuals will be able to, whether it be money to accommodate that requirement that would be required at that time. The ebb and flow doesn't place us at those percentages, but just so all districts worry about having enough in that liability coverage that and spike in the park use, if you will, won't create another kind of headache for the school district that it didn't budget for. So in future budget, I suspect there will be a real conscious effort to talk about holding up reserve accounts whenever possible, with every dollar that are available to do so, to start to buffer off those accounts that the state will require to be used in the event that the employees who are entitled to have those are in fact ready to ask for. Contracts and renegotiations, there are two that remain, the Teachers Association and the Support Staff Association. The last time I presented, I mentioned number three. I did again tonight. The Victory Town Support Supervisory Group had reached agreement and the board ratified their support of that contract a couple of weeks ago. So we're down to two contracts that will be negotiated. But this budget is based on what we know to be our associated costs. Should there not be any change or any contract changes at all, this budget reflects the costs obligated by law to recover what you're obligated to pay. Should there be substantial changes to the two negotiations, that's why that tax levy can change later in the year. You know, I talked about 3.5, it could be affected by contract negotiations that result in something more favorable, if you will, to the district expenditures, therefore tax levy could be affected. But we deal with booking all the time, and this is booking and this is what was presented. What are the factors affecting the future in long view? Well, I said before, state aid levels must increase substantially, and or program and personnel levels must decrease substantially. Dire message there. I wanted to painfully remind everyone, some very directly affected, friends, colleagues, neighbors, children, grandchildren who are employed here in the district, that in 2012-13 there were 46.3 FTE reductions. That number of fewer people employed as a result of trying to grapple with the tax gap, the available fund balance, and the estimated cost of ERS, TRS, and the loan rights. There's only so many times you can go to 36 people. 36 classrooms, 36 programs, and say, well, there's still more of those to be done, and not affect something with kids. So I present that just as a solid objection to attend to, and just that. It's a real number, it's a real issue to be prepared for. What else is wrong with you? And you must have contract negotiations that yield savings over multiple years. Contracts that you're dealing with, that yield savings for 1 year is obviously beneficial, but we're talking about those deficits that I referred to that we really need long-term contracts that have long-term savings built into them for future years as well. And or, this is one of my favorites, so that's one, current underfunded mandates must decrease, and new underfunded mandates must not appear. Legislatures and state education department are famous for cooking up ideas that will help us to stay from ourselves for one good intention reason or another. And I'm not here to pontificate on that other than to say that there's a dollar for every program that the required schools to take, the budget each year would reflect that. Unfortunately, we get increased mandates, but no dollars to come for the place. And we have to cut the pie that we have in our hands and to fit it within the slices to accommodate the mandate. So that's my prediction, if you will, of concerns to watch for in the near future. So in summary, there's a budget increase, and the amount of less is 99. Tax money increases was approved, and it should be and approved for more at 3.5%. We are projecting the tax rate to be $17,036, and that was a little bit higher than the 16.88 or the 12.15 tax rate. I put up the May calendar because that's what's next. I said earlier in my presentation, this is the last budget presentation made to the community before we go and your budget, as well by the way of school board elections. That's also going to be out. And also, I think the preferred proposition, which deals with the term of office of school board, will have an opportunity to attach to the board on all three of those issues. But this calendar now comes into bearing. Just pointing out your reference point. Obviously, the registered view wants. The more people that vote on whatever is left to vote for, the more it represents the community. And the less people that do that, the less we know doesn't represent the issues that the community. But on the 14th, our budget hearing, May 14th was a budget hearing. Guess what? That's us. On the 15th is the deadline to mail the budget notice. So we will be mailing notices on the information I presented to you tonight. It will be on a hard stock paper, a cardboard kind of hard stock, and will be sent to you and isolate that three-part budget that I put into my slides. So you're going to see that in your mail. On the 21st, excuse me, is the actual budget vote, the election of board members, and the proposition for the decrease in the terms of service office rather for board members. The budget will open from 11 a.m. and remain open until 8 p.m. and then the middle school will begin magazine. Additional questions aside from what may come up this evening, you can see in your hands and your handouts that I've given you multiple contacts and ways to make contact. I will add that the business executive, Mary Jane, at the end of the table, has also made it clear and has offered many, many times for anybody, individuals who want to come in and just stick with her and say, let's go for it, do it. I didn't want to do it the other night, but you're not going to come and ask a couple of questions about something I thought would pay you, whatever. Mary's made herself available to those calls and those inquiries that should be happening with anybody individually to give you more detailed responses to questions that you want to think about between now and when you go to go later on. That is the budget presentation.
If there's any questions anybody would like to ask, you can please come forward to the microphone and ask.
And when you were presenting the budget here, who showed on the class sizes for the elementary school. And we were looking at the budget and places to where things can possibly be cut or reduced or better done. I'm wondering if you have any analysis that had been done for the class sizes in both the middle school and the high school, and to look at a better way to utilize our teachers and utilize our teachers and staff and their time to effectively schedule classes and students. Or we just look at the elementary school?
No, great question. The question, I think we're listening in, I'll repeat the question, is to pertain to how our enrollment, or excuse me, students' class size is determined at all of the grade levels. Do we look at those numbers above and beyond elementary? The answer is yes, we do. Scheduling, at the high school level, there are, as many of you know, there are courses that are required for graduation that have an impact on how many sections are offered to so kids can get those courses in their day, as well as some electives that we try to maintain. I talked about AP classes and a few other things that we try to provide. But there's also those the classes of AIS, the Academic Intervention Services classes, which also have to be factored in as a service made available to students. Sometimes the AIS classes, after all the core courses are lined up, afford only one or two pockets of time during the day when students can take the class that they need for ELA or math. Historically, that can project when you look at class enrollments, if you go middle school or high school. It can sometimes arguably present a distortion of, gee, there's a teacher, there's only four kids in class. Isn't there a better way to combine all those kids into a larger environment? The state of New York does allow for larger than that number to be in the classroom. At the same time, it argues that you should try to keep them as small as you can because the kids are struggling in the mainstream. You create too large an AIS classroom, the theory is they're struggling again and you've made extra services available for them. But having said that, we still look at other ways of delivering the service. One of the notions that we explored for the high school in particular was combining two teachers into one classroom environment, one maybe math, one maybe ELA, and then have a much, much larger population of kids take that class together, knowing that their service is to be met by one or the other teacher. When we take out the staff member needed for the instruction of students, AIS not even set off to the side, we don't see a reduction of other courses. That means if we can bump up more kids in AIS, we can cut more positions. We still have the need to provide those core offerings, and they're averaging somewhere in the 18s to 22, 23 size in the classroom. The AIS numbers look a little deceiving because some of the kids can be assembled, and there's sometimes presently there's only four kids in a given hour that can take the AIS ELA or the AIS math. But I just pointed out one of the strategies we're looking at, or did look at for this coming year, is a bunch of kids in a larger environment, but have a couple of teachers on the same period, their schedule assigned, so that they're not just meeting the four in ELA, but they're in a room that's given to a much larger population of students who need AIS services. That's one. It's not over yet. We have more to do, obviously. And I'm concerned, that's why I put that slide up there, that said we've got to watch the AIS in the future. Because if we build the test scores, are going to have an uncharacteristically different message across the state. We're right back at that focus upon the AIS services, but we also have to have math, science, such as letters. All the core courses, I'm going to get them all the way in the same schedule. So the box isn't getting any bigger. It's a poor analogy, but it works for me, so I'll try it. If we define the box of providing instruction as time, then we have but a few options. School districts have a few options for time. We can increase the size of the box, which means conversations like longer school day, longer school year, to get all the stuff in that's required to be done. You decrease what's in the box, meaning selectively toss out things so you can have more room for what you do to put in the box. Or you max out the box anywhere it's not maxed out, or maybe for analogy. That's what we're trying to do with AIS, is have we maxed out a design that allows us to keep everything else going without needing more people, but get more kids served in different compartments rather than more than five at a time.
So are you only finding these small numbers with AIS students, or has this also been just for lack of a better word, your mainstream students?
No, primarily AI services. I mean, it's possible that in a foreign language class or an advanced foreign language class, for example, may have less kids who signed up for that, but, you know, take a third or a multiple year enrichment class and have fewer students who pick that as an elective. So it's, yeah, I don't want to even apply it to only AIS, but predominantly also AIS. If students were, if there was no requirement to provide AIS services and all the students were performing very, very well at what we have to offer, then there would be less need for AIS classrooms, which means those kids would be in regular classrooms, and most sizes would need to continue to grow. But they're kind of slanted out of some classrooms during the day because they're into an AIS class. So numbers are a little bit distinct.
Thank you. Now, I understand what you're saying about the high school. That actually now makes me think of a question for the elementary. What do we do with students that have special needs in the elementary?
Different than high school is that there aren't core requirements like that you can use to translate to high school for graduation. So one teacher teaches all of those subjects. In high school, you see in middle school, you see a differentiation. I'm an English teacher, so all my classes are our students who need English. Versus elementary teachers, I teach math, science, history, things. I've got this day, the box, if you will, and I've got to figure out how to provide extra time and services for struggling students. So we do have support services at the elementary level, but they're not, you can see them broken down as class sizes, because it's the same teacher trying to figure out how I can meet the needs of those students.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anybody else that has questions? Last chance. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
We do have to have a clerk program for the if me, all in favor? Against? I have it. We are going to go into an exact session for Section 108 of Public Office Law to review and student superintendent suspension. Have a motion to go to
just in case I don't see you before Tuesday.
I can't hear when the camera's on like that.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, and thank you for that.